Thank you, Jeremy, and thank all of you that are here tonight. What a wonderful day it has been, and we have all been blessed in so many, many ways. The luncheon just went great today. If you missed that, we had a lot of good food, and a big thank you to Jill and other ladies, and we'll list those, Jill, if you'll get that list to us, by the way, and we'll put that in the bulletin. We do want you to know it's a lot of hard work doing that, and, you know, to have these wonderful ladies that do that every time. We had some visitors with us today, and Jill, not only, along with the other ladies, got the food on the table. She came by offering additional tea, and my good friend Mark Tang asked, he says, boy, do y'all have a mission group right here at the church to do this all the time? I said, believe me, we have a mission group that does it all the time, but they do a fabulous job, and we appreciate it so very, very much. You know, in life, we all face obstacles, and we don't like to admit it. We don't like to admit that we have faced maybe an obstacle that we consider to be insurmountable. Someone said obstacles don't have to stop you. If you run into a wall, here's the answer. Don't turn around and give up. Figure out how to climb it, go through it, or work around it. And I think that's what we have to do in life. You know, we all face them every day. When you wake up in the morning, you'll face a new obstacle, perhaps, or a difficulty in your life. There are some practical suggestions that I want to offer you tonight to help survive whatever comes your way. You know, most of us, if it's not something very simple that we can do, then we want to give up and let somebody else deal with it. But that's not the thing to do. I would tell you, first of all, we must be a faithful Christian. Because the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, God's only going to be for us if we're seeking to honor and do His will. So foremost, we should be a very faithful child of God. And I just listed numerous passages up here. I hope that you'll find those, that you'll become like Jesus, who was faithful to the challenge that his Father had placed before him. The book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 14, Paul said, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Christ said that we are a city that is set on a hill, Matthew chapter 5. So we have to make the Lord's will first in our minds and in our conduct. It's not enough to come to church on Sunday and say, yeah, I put the Lord first today, but are you putting Him first every day? That's the real issue. You see, the Christian life is not something that we just simply honor on the first day of the week, but it is something that we honor every day in our life. We have to resolve to live above sin. A lot of people tolerate it and go along with it. We have to pray for strength and guidance. I'm telling you, one of the most important things that we can employ in our life is the avenue of prayer. Have you ever thought about this, that God gives that avenue to you because you are His child? A lot of people say, well, I just believe God answers everybody's prayer. Well, that's not really what the Bible teaches. That is a misnomer, and that is alternate facts, as some people said. They're not really facts at all. And in the book of, actually, the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible even says, regarding Cornelius and his family, it says, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness with him is accepted with him. God is no respecter of persons. But when a person is a child of God, think about it, you can call God Father. But if you are not a child of God, how can you call upon God and call Him Father? If we become children of God in obedience to the gospel, according to Galatians 3, 26 and 27, and the Bible does say that you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You put on the sonship in that act of baptism. And John writes in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, or the sons of the Most High." But that's an avenue that God has given to those who are children. Now, let me confirm that by the words found in the New Testament as well. Do you remember throughout the teaching of the Apostle Paul, he reminded us over and over again that God does not hear the prayers of sinners. In John 9 and verse 31, there was a pagan. And he's the one, the pagan, it wasn't Paul who said this particular thing, but it was the pagan who didn't know Christ, who was lost and separated from God. And he said, "We know that God heareth not the prayers of sinners, but in every nation he that worketh righteousness is accepted with God." And so when you face that obstacle, you need to make sure that you are in the way of Jehovah, and that you're walking in his way, and that God is listening to your prayer. Why would God listen to your prayer if you're not a son, you're not a child of God? Why would you have that benefit? And I don't think we do have that benefit. Until we become Christians, can we call upon God? One of the things we have to do also is to recognize the enemy and who he is. As I mentioned this morning, that Satan is very active. He is dangerous. He is cunning. There is a mark of wisdom about him to one degree. And the battle that you and I face every day trying to overcome these obstacles is a battle that, listen, is unmatched anywhere. You have no greater enemy tonight than Satan himself. That's why we have to guard our thoughts. And the Bible repeatedly says that, doesn't it? That we have to get the lust out of our mind, James chapter 1. We have to be thinking on things that are holy, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. You see, God protects his own. He insulates us from the diabolical schemes of the evil one. He purges the church at times. And we know that we are to resist Satan. You know, I mentioned about the fact this morning that Satan is described as a wolf in the Bible. And he is. And wolves are everywhere. The Bible speaks not only of Satan, but Satan and his angels. Evil is flaunted all around us. And thank you for your prayer tonight, Charles. Think about it. Everywhere we look in today's world, people flaunt sin, and they try to measure you by saying, "Hey, you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. You're not doing anything about all these things I'm telling you that are all right." Well, if we're not standing up and doing what we ought to be doing, no, we're not living the Christian life. We're not. The majority will not live godly in this world. Jesus confirmed it in his teaching in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13, where he said, "Strive to enter in the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it." What did he mean by that? I think he meant exactly what he said. Few there be that find it. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet you don't do the things that I say? Luke 6 and verse 46. And the majority are going to hell. We don't like to admit that, but it's true. And the world will feel intimidated if you get up and preach that message. But it is a message that God mandated that we preach. You know, God doesn't just leave it up to us to preach on what we want to preach. I pray every week, God, put on my heart what I need to say. Help me to determine what lesson I should bring to the body of Christ and to those that are not Christians. And I leave it up to God to lay it on my heart. And I understand what people mean by that. You know, one guy said that he waited till Sunday morning. If someone asked him, "What are you preaching on?" I said, "I don't know." And he said, "Well, when will you find out?" And he said, "Sunday morning, sitting on the front pew." Well, I'll tell you up front, I don't wait that late. I make preparation on the subject matter that I have prayed about and asked God to inform me about. But thirdly, we need our family. We need to lead them spiritually speaking. Tell them about God. That's why I appreciate Children's Bible Hour so much. And I appreciate these young seniors this morning and that we had this morning up here. You know, a lot of them think, well, they're not young anymore. But they are young. They're impressionable. And we need to start making sure that we teach them about God and lead them in the way that is eternal. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 is so profound. Teach your children when you walk with them. He didn't just say, wait till you come into the synagogue and tell them about God. But tell them in every facet of your life. He said, let the word of God be as frontlets before their eyes. When you walk by the way, when you're with them during the daylight hours. But he says also, when you lie down at night. He said, teach them about God. For Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 said, what is a man to profit if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? I thought this morning all those beautiful accolades that we mentioned this morning up here with all these young people, and that's great and that's wonderful. But you know, the greatest accolade in all is to be able to say, what is a Christian? What is a child of God? And we must show and prove the value and the importance of a soul by the way that we live. It's so important that we do that. We study, we pray, we worship God, we provide the greatest need of our children. Spend quality time with them. You know, social media is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And I suppose probably just about everybody in the audience tonight has one form or another of these little gadgets. Now, let me tell you something. This little phone will put you near the one who is furthest away from you. But you know what? This little phone will draw the people away from you that are sitting closest to you. It does. Think about it. You can get on, you can call any state, or you can call internationally, and it'll put you in with people that are far away. But sometimes when we're using that phone, we have distanced ourselves from the very person that we need to be communicating with. And that is a great travesty. Our children, our mates, we need to spend time together. We need to lead our family. We need to talk, walk, and let that become the manner of your life. I think one thing we need to do when we talk about meeting the challenges and the obstacles of life is to think about our recreational activities. What do you do? What do you do for fun? People ask me that all the time. I said, what do you do for fun? I said, I study the Word of God. No, what do you do for fun? There is nothing more exhilarating to me than to study the Word of God and find truths that have been hidden from my mind, maybe because I didn't study it long enough. I'm not condemning recreational activities. I enjoy recreational activities. I enjoy the Dogwood Jamboree. It's a lot of fun. It's a clean show, family show. Anybody can come and see. There's nothing wrong with having recreational activities. Jesus got involved in several of those, like the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee and John chapter 2, a social call. But sometimes when we think about our recreational activities, maybe movies even, where people take the name of God in vain repeatedly and it doesn't bother us anymore, we have desensitized ourselves from all these little expletives. And we do. I'm astounded sometimes, you know, with watching television when you do watch it, and I try to watch things that are decent. But someone was telling me about Gutfield on Fox. I won't ask you if any of you watch it. But one of the things that really astounds me is all the expletives that they have to cut out. There was a little thing on the computer the other day. It said, do you know a comedian who thinks he's funny and he's not funny? And I put Gutfeld. I said, I'm not sure if you remove the expletives if he'd be funny. But we sometimes find ourselves in situations that really are against God. Why would you want to participate in something that is against God? For the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and following says that we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice before God. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. And that is something that we must do. We must live pure lives, godly lives, and we must share in what we call holy, Christ-like activities. We need to monitor our television and be careful of what we watch and what our children watch. Computer games, drugs, alcohol, immodesty, anything goes. If you don't believe it, you better watch it. Fifthly, we need to counterbalance evil. Now, what I mean by that is not to be involved in evil. We have to teach what is good and then identify and speak against the things that are evil. And we don't like to do that. We don't like confrontation. But we have to set the right kind of example before other people. We have to train our children, to mold them, to teach them, to guide them. They're not always going to do what you want them to do or what God wants them to do. But we must make the effort. Someone was telling me a moment ago about an individual that they had conversed with this week, telling them that they needed to obey the gospel and that they needed to get right with God. And he said, I've been thinking about that. He thought about it all right. And about a week later, he died out of Christ. Tragedy, isn't it? It is. When we think about meeting the obstacles that we face, we have to make sure that we direct the steps of our children. Lead them in the way of righteousness. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. And delight in the way of the Lord. Psalms chapter 1. We're to walk in the ways of God. David said, my delight is in the way of God. And he said, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight shall be in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate both day and night. I wouldn't meet the challenges of life. And I'm going to tell you, the obstacles that I face every day can be overcome by the help of God. I know he's taking care of it. So I'm not going to worry about it. I'm pressing on the upward way to that wonderful prize that Paul speaks about in Philippians chapter 3. Looking unto Jesus, according to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. But then number 7, do not give up. You know what happens to a lot of us that are Christians? We give up and we give in. Generally, it's the other way around. We give in and then we give up. And that, to me, is a tragedy as well. Because Satan wants you to quit. That's his desire. You know, the strongest desire that Satan has is to pull you back to himself, to the ungodly things of life that are not going to bring you happiness. Satan wants you to quit. But the Bible says that we are to retain our crown. Let no man, the Bible says, take your crown. Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, we're not to be weary in well-doing, knowing that in due time we shall reap if we faint not. Revelation 2 and verse 10, to be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Paul says, keep pressing on. Philippians chapter 3, press toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't grow weary. You know, it must have been a tough world for the apostles when they were living and when they were preaching and teaching the Word of God. It must have been extremely hard, and they met one challenge after another, one obstacle after another. When they found out they could not destroy the Apostle Paul nor eradicate the Word of God by stoning him, then they tried lynching him. I mean, they tried everywhere. They ran him out of town. They placed him in jail. They did everything in the world that they could. Every obstacle, and with the help of God, he was able to overcome. I know he did, because at the end of his life, when that critical time came, when he was going to be put to death under Nero in Rome, he said, he wrote to Timothy, and he said, I've fought the good fight. but I'm ready now to be offered, for the time of my departure has come. I've fought that good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course, and there is henceforth laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give in that day. And I'm going to tell you, stop and think about how blessed you are to have God on your side. If God is for us, who can be against us? There is no greater power than the power of Almighty God. He blesses us. He watches after us. He cares for us. And if you're not a Christian tonight, then you're not leaning upon God. But if you really love Him with all of your heart and you're ready to yield to Him and to make His will your will, and that's the way it should be, then tonight, out of respect for God and with a willingness to avail yourself to the great power of the Almighty, to live a powerful and courageous life that enables you to overcome the obstacles that are many, then why not come to Him and give your life to Him, as others have done recently, and by being immersed in water baptism for the remission of sin, and then live that courageous life that He has called for you to live. Only then will you be able to overcome the obstacles. But you can. You can bend your walk right now with God while we stand and while we sing.